as our year theme verse says, the church was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. And we're looking at the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit encourage the church and encourage each of us in our Christian walk? And so we looked at what Jesus had to say about the Holy Spirit in the book of John. And we realized that he said, you cannot be born again except by the Spirit of God. He said that, through John the Baptist. John the Baptist testified that when Jesus came, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus promises his disciples that he will not leave them to be orphans, but will ask the Father to give them another counselor who will live with them and in them. And he will teach the disciples all things and remind them of everything Jesus had taught them. And then Jesus said that the work of the Spirit was to convict the world of sin or guilt, because of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We're going to look this morning at what we see about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And of course, we can't begin to deal with the whole book, but we're going to touch on some of the things that we see relating to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Let's just pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thy own special way. It is you who can do immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly, much more than we could ever ask or think, according to your power at work within us. We pray that these words would be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, that our faith would not rest on man's word, but on the power of God displayed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 1, I'm just going to read it. It's a fairly long chapter, but we're going to look at the references to the Holy Spirit in this first chapter of Acts. So Dr. Luke says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Let's just touch about that. Notice the reference there. Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Even the Lord Jesus was dependent upon the wisdom and the direction and the instruction of the Holy Spirit in his earthly ministry. That's important for us to realize. He appeared to them, Jesus did, over a period of 40 days after he rose from the dead. Okay? So this is a resurrection appearance. And he spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this suggestion. Is that what it says? What is it? He gave them this command. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. And we look forward to that someday. And when they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. That's not the Judas Iscariot that we know, but another Judas. And they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers, Jesus' brothers, born from Joseph and Mary. That's those brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, and he spoke to the group, about 120. And he said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number, and he shared in this ministry, referring to Judas Iscariot. And with the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field, and there he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Not real pleasant. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language El Kedema, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness. Notice that word witness again. With us of the resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice, and Matthias. And then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. By the way, are you praying for the election of the new leaders that are coming? Have you been praying about that? You know, we need to follow this example, right? So they prayed, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. And then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. The scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas. Jesus gave instructions through the Holy Spirit. And it's amazing and it's wonderful to realize that life in the Spirit involves the Holy Spirit giving us instructions, directions, guidance into what we're saying. I'm told that for many people, the greatest fear in their life is public speaking. Anybody? No, you don't have to show me. No. But it is wonderful to know that the Holy Spirit leads us into the truth and brings to our remembrance what Jesus taught, and that he can give us instructions and direction and guidance as we prepare to speak. Mom, you need to be encouraged by that as you look forward to speaking on Thursday. It's important. I remember years ago when I first pastored here at Lakeshore Missionary Church that I was called by a family who did not attend church anywhere, but I was called by the family and asked if I would do the funeral, serve them at a funeral for one of their relatives who was homeless in the city. And I met with the family, and it became very apparent that he was despised by them. And they resented the fact that they were going to have to pay for the cost of his funeral. They had had no contact with him for many years, and they just were really upset that they had to do anything for him. It was very sad, and I thought, what in the world would I say at a funeral like this, when I was so aware of the difficult, hard feelings they had and the lack of love they had for the one that had died. And I remember that funeral maybe more than any other funeral that I ever preached at, because the Holy Spirit took me to words that were spoken long ago in Isaiah chapter 53, where I read of the description, the prophetic description that was given there by the Holy Spirit to Isaiah, the words, "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief." And I remember the Holy Spirit moved upon me to take those words and to introduce that family through to Jesus Christ through those words spoken so long ago. And I remember standing up to preach in that funeral, and I just read those words. "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not." And as I spoke those words, I felt a liberty in the Holy Spirit to say, "You know, you may think," addressing the family, and there was just the family there. There were no other people there. I said, "You maybe think that I'm talking to you, or I'm describing to you the one who has died. But I am describing to you, I am proclaiming to you the Lord Jesus Christ, and how he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, because of his desire to make provision for our own salvation And oh, what an comforting word that was for me to be able to share with them. You know, the Holy Spirit has spoken long ago, and the prophecies that the Scripture are full of were moved by Him. Words that He moved others to speak. And so Jesus gave instructions, and He referred back to words long ago that the Holy Spirit had moved upon David and so on to speak. That's powerful to see that again and again in the Scriptures. Now, Jesus says something very specific in this first chapter. He says, wait. He says, wait for the gift my Father promised you. Acts 1:14, in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Wait. I read the definition. Stay or remain in one place, or remain inactive in expectation that something has to happen before you go out, or hold oneself in readiness. Now, you got to picture, you got to appreciate the fact that Jesus has appeared to them as a risen Savior and Lord. And do you think, well, if it had happened to you, would you be excited? Would you be inclined to rush out and tell some other people about it? You know, I mean, they were pumped because they'd seen Him die on the cross. And yet they had come to realize that He didn't stay dead, and that He had risen from the dead. And now He had appeared to them over 40 days, a period of 40 days. And, I mean, that's good news. And, hey, I'm sure they had this strong passion to run out and tell everybody. And what does Jesus say to them? Wait a minute. Don't you go. Don't you go out there, and don't you tell that news until you have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and then you'll be my witnesses, because I want you to have an effective witness. You know, did you get the picture? It's powerful. We see this that Jesus was giving them instructions, and He was saying, look, you know, in the light of my resurrection and my soon ascension into heaven, I've not left you as orphans, you know. I mean, the Holy Spirit is going to be sent. And I baptize with the Holy Spirit, and He will not only be with you, but He will be in you. That's powerful. Wait for the gift, my Father. And it's interesting that it's the promise that the Father gives. Do you know that it's interesting? In Romans chapter 8, we're told, and we begin to realize that the only way that we can really significantly confess that our Heavenly Father is Abba is through the Holy Spirit. You know. And so there's a vital relationship there that's going on. So what happened? So the disciples, what did they do? I mean, yeah, there was an element of fear that they were dealing with, and uncertainty, what's going to happen now? And so they met together constantly in prayer. I remember one preacher saying that the Christians in the book of Acts didn't have a prayer meeting, they were a prayer meeting. Constantly living, meeting together, praying. And one of the most alarming trends in the North American church is the trend of prayerlessness. More and more people giving up coming together for times of prayer. Well, let me flip that and say one of the positive things that's happening is people are getting back to the place of prayer too. And we see that. God's raising up. Matthew Henry, the Bible scholar, said that when God intends great mercy for His people, He sets them a praying. And you say, well, how do we wait? What was Jesus telling His disciples to do? And He said, wait. And He was really calling them to to go to the place of prayer, to be a people of prayer, to wait on Him and for the Father to send the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. One of the most important things that you and I do as Christians is wait. Is wait on God. Wait for God. You know, His timing is often not our timing, right? And lots of times when we even are in prayer, part of the answer to the prayer that God, when we're asking God for direction and for His will to be done in our lives and all of that, is to wait. Sometimes the greatest feature of God's will for our life is to wait. To wait on Him. And I think that that's one of the great challenges that the Holy Spirit is challenging us as the people of God today, is wait. Wait on Me. Spend time in My presence. Spend time with Me. Cultivate a intimate relationship with Me. And wait and see what I will be and what I will do in the light of that. Wait for the gift My Father promised. And then we go on from there to the fact that I've lost my place. Okay, I got to wait for a minute here. Just wait. Wait on Me, okay. The third truth that I wanted to identify was you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, Jesus said in Acts 1:8. And probably any of us who were raised in Sunday school probably memorized that verse at one point. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14, Jesus was teaching about end times, and He said that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end would come. And that has a significant relationship to what He said in Acts 1:8 when He said, you'll be My witnesses to the ends of the earth. And God still got that program on His heart. I remember a story, and I have told it here, so some of you will have heard it, but it has stuck with me. It was a true story of a man by the name of, he was a pastor, Bill McLeod. And in the early years, he had no Bible college education. But God raised him up and to be a preacher. And he was working in an organization called the Shantymen. And they would go out into the shanties in the lumber camps, these little structures that they would put up for the men to stay in while they were cutting wood, cutting logs and so on. And so he had organized and arranged to go to this particular camp to speak, to preach to the lumberjacks in that camp. And he had made arrangements for several months in advance. And so he got on his bicycle and he drove back on this logging road, rode back on the logging road, and got to the camp, and it was empty. Nobody was there. Well, he was so excited because while he had been riding his bike, you know, the Holy Spirit had been giving him a good gospel message in his mind and his heart that he was to preach. And so he walked into the biggest shanty where they would have held the meeting. And he was just conversing with the Holy Spirit. Say, I don't know why. What went wrong here? And the Holy Spirit prompted him to go ahead and preach the message that the Holy Spirit had given him. So he stood at the front, and all these empty logs. I think they were just cut, ripped logs or something for benches, you know. And he stood there, and he preached the gospel message. Unknown to him, there was a 17-year-old boy who heard somebody hollering in that empty room, and he snuck up to the outside of the shanty, and there was this big, what do we call those? Hole, you know, knot hole, right? Knot hole. And he could see Pastor Bill McLeod preaching and heard him. And he listened to that whole sermon. And after Bill McLeod left, got back on his bike, he's driving back down the logging trail, and he's going, I don't know what that was all about. That young man, 17-year-old, went into the shanty, and he knelt at one of the benches, and he asked Christ into his life because he'd heard the gospel, the good news. And 20 years later, I have heard Pastor Bill McLeod personally testify and tell this story, so I know it's true. He said 20 years later, that young man came up to him at a conference and introduced himself and told Bill McLeod of his personal conversion to Christ when he had preached to an empty shanty. You see, the Holy Spirit, he surprises us. You know, God, we sometimes pray this. You know, we pray and we ask God to do immeasurably more, exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to his power at work within us. But that involves surprises. That involves God doing a lot more than we can even believe him for or we can even pray for. And that's what happened there. According to his power at work within us. That's wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. Do you know that one of the interesting things is in the book of Acts is that on at least two different occasions, a number of people had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles asked them the question, when you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And that's a whole nother sermon. But it's very interesting. I can just take you to the one passage in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 to 7. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples and asked them, notice what he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. The question is a haunting one. It's a question that I would ask you this morning. When you believed, did you receive the Holy Spirit in your life? Did you understand, did you comprehend in the spiritual realm that in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again by the Spirit of God? And therefore, there becomes a need for us to recognize that the Spirit of God is deposited in our lives as the guarantee of our inheritance. And we get into the whole area of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. We get into the whole area of being filled with the Spirit. Do you know that the criteria for selecting deacons in the book of Acts was that they were looking for men that were full of the Holy Spirit? That more than any other criteria, and you know, when we have elections of officers and or leaders, board members, and so on, what is our criteria? Oh, well, they'd be good. You know, They're good leaders or what? There's got to be more to it than that, right? We so need and we so must have leaders who are filled with the Spirit and wisdom and knowledge. So much. I read an interesting story. It was online. Probably some of you have read it. Relating to some women who were waiting on God for revival in the Hebrides. I quote, "Peggy and Christina Smith were unmarried sisters, 84 years and 82 years of age. They could no longer get out to church. One was blind, one was severely arthritic. But they could pray, and pray they did. They are known worldwide as the impetus behind the Great Hebrides Revival, 1949 to 1952. They simply prayed and waited on God until He answered. They prayed for God to send water on thirsty ground and on dry hearts. They were dismayed at the lack of young people in the church and the lack of fire in God's people. So they prayed for years from 10 p.m. till 2 p.m. in the morning. These two women. And God answered, sending a revival that the world still talks about. It was the God Everywhere revival. God in the barn, God in the school, God in the field, God in the bar, God in the shop, God at the lake. God was showing up in the dance hall. God was everywhere in His manifested presence. And it had a huge impact on thousands of people. It was a sovereign, supernatural, God-ordained revival that swept young and old into the kingdom of Christ." Interesting statement in the article. These two praying women were Donald Trump's great aunts. Wouldn't you believe that? I'm not kidding you. I'm quoting. He never met them, but you cannot tell me that God is not still working mysteriously in answer to the prayers of those two faithful prayer warriors. Now, we're not going to get into a discussion about what you think about Donald Trump. But one thing you cannot ignore is the fact that God uses people who will wait on Him and fills them with His Spirit and quickens them in what they should pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll hear from heaven. Forgive their sin and heal their land. We have a great need to examine our lives as a church and as God's people. Are you living in a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus and with the Spirit that was to be sent so that we wouldn't have to live the Christian life in our own strength, but through His power? Are you struggling in your witness for Christ? Are you have you succumbed to fear and worry and fretting over what man would think or how they would perceive you and all of that? And into the midst of that, the Holy Spirit is poured out on us and gives to us a boldness that is uncharacteristic of us. Look at Peter, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2 and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, was the birth of the church. That event was for the birth of the church. Let's bow for prayer. Did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Let me ask that question. Would you let the Holy Spirit ask you that question this morning? What is your relationship to God? Are you experiencing fellowship with the Holy Spirit? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I felt prompted this morning by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to read the words that are written in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 when we talk about receiving the Spirit. Listen to this. Young and old, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. And then these words: do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord Jesus, dear Comforter, dear Holy Spirit, great three in one, we come before you this morning and we lift up our lives before you. And we acknowledge once again, as Jesus taught, that we would desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives, not only to be with us, but to live in us. That He is the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. That He is the one who enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry in our lives. The flesh counts for nothing, but the Spirit giveth life. We pray for a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit on us as a church. We pray, dear Lord, that we'll be encouraged by the Spirit. For those that are here this morning and feel like they're just barely hanging on in their walk with you, Lord, may you pour out your Spirit on them in a fresh way. Lord, show us anything in our life that is grieving the Spirit. And help us to deal with it. Forgive us. Cleanse us in the blood of Christ. And give us fresh life in the Spirit. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit. We pray that you'd have your way in our lives. We don't want the Holy Spirit to just be in residence in our lives, but we want him to be the president, the God, the executive of the Godhead, administrating gifts and abilities and power in our lives. Help us. Come, Holy Spirit, now, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Glory of God the Father. God the Son. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. after we've sung this last song together, if there are those of you that would like to come for prayer, I'm going to ask that Rod Brooks and Justin and Tom and our deaconess, if they're available, and Marg McDougal, if she would come, and we'll just pray with any that come for prayer, especially relating to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's stand and sing together. Worship the Lord. Heard an old story, how Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on